Hey Gabers, this episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
Unbuckle my fucking pants. Oh, God.
Got that on fucking record.
The holidays have done me in.
Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is hate within the community. Hate, gatekeeping, gay to keeping.
Gay to keeping.
Gay keeping. Hate keeping. And keep going.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get into it, make sure that you are subscribed or following wherever it is that you're listening. It really helps us out. Also, if you drop us a review, only if it's 5 stars, we really appreciate it. You can also follow us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And we have something super exciting going on I Can Explain Podcast Instagram. Right now, we have a giveaway for a $50 Visa gift card. So go check out our posts and you'll find out all the information on how to win. It's super simple, and you can win $50.
Get those details, honey.
Yes. Kick off the new year with some cash money.
Yeah, $50 Canadian, though. Sorry for, like, if you're in, like, you can win it in America, but that...
It's like $42 for you.
The transfer doesn't work in your favor.
Oh, man.
Remember when somebody gave us 4 stars? I still am haunted by that.
I am... haunted. That's so insulting.
We almost quit the podcast.
It was almost
don't do that to us, please.
We also, you may have noticed over on the I Can Explain podcast page on Instagram, we've stepped our pussies up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be multiple posts a week, tons of content going on over there, lots of interactive stuff with all of you.
Less ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of our goals for 2020 is making shit less ugly.
Yeah, honestly, I was going to start with my face, but that's a bigger project.
That'll take a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so hey, I hate you. And you're in the community. And yeah. I think that's really...
And that's what this is about. Yeah. No, I wanted to do gatekeeping because I think it's a topic that we haven't really touched on, and it's... really prevalent, and it's a shame.
I think we've talked briefly about it.
Okay, well,
but it's more like, wait, do you hear
about
that?
No.
Do you hear that?
No.
No?
No.
You don't hear the sirens of the gay police?
Okay, I was straining my ears to listen. I'm like, what's happening?
We've talked about, like, gay police.
Oh.
And, you know, how much we hate them.
Yes.
But that's about, I think, as deep as we've gotten into it. Yeah.
Okay, fair. So, for those of you that are in the community, you probably have experienced at some point some form of gatekeeping. If you're not in the community, what that means is people... within the LGBTQ plus community, deciding what it means to be queer maybe because it's a certain term and they have defined that term for themselves, or defining like what it is to be a good gay or like gay enough.
And I'm going to break it down for you. None of us are good gays. We're all going to hell and we've made the wrong choice. So
we're all fucked.
Yeah.
And it's a big problem. I mean, definitely different groups experience it more than others. But it's interesting because I feel like times are changing and they're bringing up new issues with gatekeeping,
right,
or new issues with inner judgment within the community, things that maybe before weren't the case. So I feel like we'll dive right in. I've noticed a huge shift of people like silencing lesbians.
Okay.
So definitely still prevalent.
I mean,
and
thank God at some point, you know.
Waiting. Yeah. Just shut up.
I can silence this lesbian.
But it used to be much more prevalent bi erasure.
Right.
And in the last couple of years, lesbian erasure has definitely become a thing. For a few reasons, and people may disagree with me, but there's things like people are now calling themselves bi lesbians.
Okay.
Which people that identify as lesbian are like, that is...
Wait, hold on. Can you explain this to me? I'm not in your...
I wish I could. I could.
Okay.
So bi lesbians are people, I mean, I think that there's people that define it differently, but it's this newer thing of people that say that they are bi, but they are specific to, like, they specifically prefer to date women. But the right person, they may be interested in a male.
Right. But do they know that that is actually what being bi is?
Thank you. Yes.
You
so
can
that's
be
the
on
problem.
A spectrum of bi, but that is still, guess what, bi.
Bi.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's also a much more blurred lines with this, but there's this whole thing online of he, him lesbians. So people who identify with male pronouns, but say they're a lesbian. And you can disagree or agree all you want, but the problem with that this is creating is a lot of things that lesbians have worked against their whole life, which is, no, I'm not a lesbian just because I haven't found the right guy.
Right.
Or I'm not a lesbian except for maybe you. Or, you know, as a lesbian, I'm allowed to say I'm only interested in women. It's kind of taking that away.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's kind of reverse gatekeeping in a way, because some people would argue, well, just allow people to call themselves whatever they want. If you want to call yourself a bi lesbian, why does that affect you? So in some ways, people are arguing that lesbians are gatekeeping.
That you are
their own
technically the gatekeeper.
That their own term. But lesbians would argue like that. And I feel like this happens more towards women, that you're like erasing their identity.
Okay.
Like, because I don't think, or it hasn't yet, that that would be something that would ever really fly in the gay male community if people started calling themselves bi gay. You know what I mean? But I guess gay is also more of an umbrella term for a lot of people. So gay can also mean bi. But lesbian is, by definition, women who are only romantically or sexually interested in women. So to try and change that is by nature taking away what it means to be lesbian, which is a very proud label for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's sticky. I see that there's like, I see both sides. That's why I wanted to start off with saying that is that I have both experienced someone gatekeeping against me in the queer community. Many people, and I have experienced myself feeling
right
like
now.
I need to, gatekeep certain terminology, and I still don't know if that is right or wrong.
Right.
I think I'll probably, the more I learn and, you know, become more informed as we do these days, especially things change so quickly when it comes to terminology and learning more and talking to more people. But as of now, I still don't know whether that's wrong or right for me to think that that is something that is taking away from my lesbianism, if you will.
Right.
But that's genuinely how I feel in this current day.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, you know, I've experienced gatekeeping, and as a lot of individuals have their whole life when it comes to, you know, first coming out and being on the scene and people finding out that I had had a boyfriend before.
Yeah.
And
they need to get like your full fucking history. Or it doesn't count that you're a lesbian.
And exactly. Yeah. And being like, oh, well, you dated a guy for years. Like, have you dated a girl? And it's like, at that point I had, but it was when I was like, when she was closeted, et cetera. So I wasn't comfortable sharing who that person was.
Absolutely.
And I didn't want to out them. So I was put in a position where I felt like I needed to like prove or validate who I was or why I was sure that I was a lesbian. And also for me, why I was sure that I wasn't bisexual, considering I had dated men before, people were like, well, then you must be bi.
And you're like, no, not actually how that works.
Not at all. And then on the flip side, bi people experience that all the time when it comes to if they haven't been with both genders or both genders, eye roll, like, you know, male and female, or two genders, if you will, because they're bi. So their gender and any other gender is what a lot of people define bi as these days. Then if they haven't had either sexual or romantic experiences with different genders, then they're told, well, how do you know you're bi? Because you're only dating in a heteronormative way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like every identity gets it. I think some more than others. I think we've talked about it on this podcast before with the difference between men and women. Like for gay men, if they make out with one guy, all of a sudden, like, oh, you're gay. You're gay.
I mean, it is how it happened for me, but
whereas with women, they could make out with 20 girls, but it's like, oh, but are you really gay?
It's funny because, like, honestly, this is a topic that I can't speak that much to.
Right.
Well, I can. There's like gay policing and gatekeeping in the gay community, but like this is one of the things that our two communities are like quite different on. Because, like, I don't know a lot of people that identify differently in the gay male community as anything but a gay male.
Right.
And it's more like, I think you get more pushback in the gay community if you do that, which, like, is not a good thing. I'm not saying that's good at all, but I think it's, like, more normalized to not do that. Right. And I think, like, as we've talked about before, since, like, there aren't brick and mortar lesbian places, the lesbian community is more a catch-all, kind of.
Yes.
So there is more freedom in a way, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
You know?
There's it's kind of like a catch-22, because discussing that, we've talked about how there's, like, there's nights. So there's the brick and mortar gay bars, right? That people would think of as gay predominant. And then what happens is, you know, trans individuals, bisexual individuals, pansexual individuals, asexual individuals, every other part of the spectrum, with the exception of gay identifying males, feel like they don't have a space.
Yeah.
And then they all go into kind of like a boiling pot of these once a month or two times a month events that happen, such as Man Up. And that's great. That's a really cool, like you said, freeing space to be in, because everyone gets to be who they want to be. The other side of it is that there's certain communities, I would argue all of those communities under the melting pot, that maybe need different things or are looking for different things that still feel like they don't have their own space for what those needs may be. So you,
I mean, a melting pot is never like case specific, which is the issue with a melting pot.
So while it's great and freeing, it's still like, for example, as a lesbian woman, when you're in a room that is half or more dominated by men, then you still feel like, okay, I don't have a woman's space.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't have a space for people that identify as being a queer woman. So then it takes away from that. And it's weird because I feel like there's a very different thing that happens. Like, for gay males, they're allowed to say, oh, this is a gay bar. But as soon as someone says this is a lesbian bar, then you're being exclusionary, which you are. But I don't know why the gay male community gets away with doing that.
Because we suck. Like, literally. Like, okay, so Brie was talking about this this topic, and I was trying to wrap my brain around it, because it's like kind of a doozy for me sometimes. But she was like, yeah, we were just going to talk about the problems in the communities. And she was like, you know, like gay keeping, like, like people, like, forcing people to, like, say that they're, give them their whole sexual resume, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, and the gays, and I was like, are racist. Like, I was like, we just have different issues in our communities.
Like, I feel like queer women spaces are very much more forward thinking when it comes to being open to different identities, being aware of diversity and the needs. You know, there's things that I've never seen happen at gay male spaces, such as, I keep going back to Man Up because it's a good example, and it is a monthly event that happens in Vancouver. And right on their event page, there's literally links to Google documents about expectations within the space.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to consent, when it comes to not having any time for cultural appropriation.
Oh, totally.
Things that, you know, creating space for people, you know, people with disabilities, having exact plans of how they will be able to access the space safely.
And saying where their, like, accessible bathrooms
are.
Meanwhile, the gays are, like, literally saying, like, no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Like, what?
Like, it's like, we're so behind.
So it's like, while we're very much more forward-thinking in that way, I feel like there's still the gatekeeping when it comes to, like, being queer enough or like proving your identity.
Yeah.
Whereas on the flip side with gay men, I think that there's way less of that. It's like, if you're willing to kiss a guy, like, you're gay enough.
You're gay. We'll take you.
Yeah, we'll take you. Yeah. You're gay.
Yeah.
But when it comes to holding the community accountable for things like racism or ableism or body shaming, that is just like way behind the queer women's space, I would argue.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I would agree.
Like, the fact that Man Up on every event is, like, in capitals, like, all bodies welcome, like, no racism, no, like, even that they're writing that down of, like, this is our expectation for this space, I've never seen that on a gay male poster or advertised or, like, in the bar on the wall.
And there's also, like, okay, so there's this event in the summer that's, like, a pool party.
Yeah.
And, like, all the gays go to it. Mm-hmm. And, like, not only would it probably not say anything like that on the event.
Yeah.
It's, like, every photo I see of it is, like, some, like, ripped guy in, like, a fucking Speedo.
Right.
So it's, like, is anybody inherently telling you that your body is wrong if it doesn't look like this? No. Nobody's literally just coming up to you and saying, like, you're fat, don't come here.
Yeah.
But, like, the message is, like, is visually there. Like, people are like, this is what I look like. I'm going to show my body off if I look like this. If you don't come.
Well, that's the representation you're getting of what that event is. Like, that's what's advertised from photos from the previous year.
Yeah.
Even, like, I know what event you're talking about in particular. And it's crazy because a couple gay male friends of mine were talking about how they were on, like, diets for that event.
For a single event.
For, like, one single event for, like, weeks. They were, like, thinking about it and getting, like, spray tans and, like, not that there's anything wrong with, like, things like spray tans and buying a new bathing suit. But, fact that there is a level of expectation that, like, I need to do all of this and work out like crazy and diet and get a new bathing suit.
Show up.
Like, I could never just show up and just be, like, as is.
And it's also, it's like you don't see photos from events like that of people that aren't the standardized muscular body type.
Yeah.
The photos that you see are all, like, they're, like, showing off what they think are, like, the hot people.
The hot people,
so it's, like, even if those people were, if people with varying body types were at the event, they'll never, like, show that off or, like, post. It's, like, so fucked up.
Which is so upsetting.
Yeah.
Where, on the flip side, Man Up has an event every year called Lay Hangover, and it has, like, outdoor pools and stuff, and it's, like, every body type is there, like, nearly naked, like, being confident within themselves. I've never seen a space that's so, like, no body shaming.
Right.
Like, it could not be more opposite. And, like, what they're advertising is that, like, you see all body types advertised. Everyone is super confident within themselves. It's a really cool vibe to be in. And I would never even, like, think of worrying about, like,
not eating for, like, 6 years.
Like, yeah, it wouldn't even cross my mind.
You're like, we're going to go to, like, Hangover in, like, 2030, right?
So
I should probably get
carbs. Oh, God. So, yeah, that's just something that, like, I don't experience. And, like, even if I do see it, it's shut down so fast by the rest of the community. Like, you will be canceled so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Even, like, I don't know how the community gay male community lets other gay males get away with it. Like, for example, like you saying, like, the, like, no fats, no femmes, no Asians in someone's bio. That's where it's predominantly, correct me if I'm wrong, like on Grindr or whatever it is, where people are saying, like, who they don't want to message them.
It used to be a lot more common, and now it is less common. I'm not currently on Grindr, but like, I know this. It's less common to, like, find it in people's bios now, but people constantly will post screenshots of, like, their first interaction with somebody, and they will basically say that.
Right.
So it's, like, people think that they have to, like, go into hiding because of their, like, train of thought of not wanting any of these things, but they, still have that headspace. They're just, like, ashamed to put in their bio. But I'm like, the issue wasn't you having it in your bio.
No.
The issue was you having it in your fucking head.
Yeah. Like, like, what the fuck?
Like, it's so gross.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I guess for every ounce of gatekeeping that I have that you might not associate with, I, like, I cannot even fathom that in the space. Like, I would never, that wouldn't even cross my mind.
I don't know. Gays just, like, I find have an issue calling each other out.
Right.
There's, like, the typical, like, gays calling each other out for, like, stupid
light
shit.
Stuff, but not but like a deep conversation.
Yeah, not, like, actual issues that need to be addressed in the community.
Right.
And I think the most common gatekeeping thing is still the amount of masculinity somebody has.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that is, I still think, the most policed thing in the gay community. Like, mask for mask is alive and well.
Oh, God.
Like, which is, like, so gross.
Yeah.
Like, you can have them. I don't want, like,
it's fine. Like, yeah, we're okay.
Yeah.
It, and it's just, like, overall just has such an umbrella of, like, misogyny, right?
Oh my God, absolutely.
And the shame is, I think that a lot of times that carries into the queer women's space, like, especially lesbian spaces.
I also just thought of something.
Yeah. Even, go ahead.
The amount of misogyny in general in the gay community is insane.
Frightening.
Like, it's actually insane.
Yeah.
Like, people, like, gays literally just, like, even how they treat, like pop women, which is, like, a common thing for gays, but it's, like, literally basically, like, that they're there for your entertainment, like, that you just, like, scream stuff at them, and, like, all the stuff with Charlie XCX.
Oh, I know
that she posted that she didn't have an issue with it, but, like, gays would go to her meet and greets and get her to, like, sign poppers and, like, sign their douche and, like, all this stuff.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. And, like, scream, like, gay rights. And then they would, like, post photos and videos of her doing this. And she came out and was like, oh, I'm not offended by it. Like, thanks for, like, sticking up for me. And I'm like, but still, the fact that you, like, saw this famous woman and thought that you could just take advantage of her
and
for a photo, like, for laughs.
Yeah.
Like, that says a lot about how people, like, see women, I think.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing in that scenario is if she said something like, it puts her in an uncomfortable position.
Absolutely.
If she said, oh, no, I'm not going to scream gay rights, and then they get that on video, then she looks like she's homophobic.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and she was even in responding to that, like, if she had said that she had a problem with it, people would have been like, well, that's homophobic. Like, people, like, literally would just come up with any issue.
Totally.
So, yeah, the misogyny is, like, it's next level.
Well, even I find it weird how gays carry their expectations of women in a misogynistic way onto, like, queer women communities. Like, I feel like a lot of the rooted issue of when people say that the lesbians and the gays are not, like, close is because gay men have this, and I'm obviously generalizing, this whole thing is generalizing.
Yeah, hi, welcome to I Can Explain.
Yeah. have this idea that, like, women should be fit and skinny, and they should dress feminine, and, like, they should have a full face of makeup and the hair extensions like these pop icons.
Yeah.
So when they're in a space where, like, women are wearing no makeup and, like, have a butchier style, or, you know, are wearing fucking sweatpants and a flannel, they're like, that's not the woman you should be.
Yeah. And even I think that ties into, like, if somebody brings their straight female friend to the club, they, like, want them to be, like, fucking decked out to the nines and, like, full glam so they can be like, this is my girl. But literally they're wearing, like, fucking, like, Converse.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, why are you dressed like a bum? But this girl literally spent, like, 4 hours getting ready to, like, not even get hit on.
Oh, yeah. No, like, no, totally. Well, I think that's what it is like, gay men, like, connect more to those women, those types of women, it seems. It's interesting that, like, most gay males' like best friends is like a hyper feminine woman.
Yeah.
And that's who they'll bring with them to the bars. But yet there's women at the bar that are queer and they don't connect with them because they're not like decked out and they're not like showing up when they in the way that they think women should.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting in that way.
It's also funny because like the misogyny in like the gay community also, it's getting a lot better, but also for a long time, like translated into things like drag. Like people would like be less into drag artists that were more theatrical, more kind of like gender nonconforming, you know, like that. Now it's getting like the praise it deserves.
Yes.
But for a while there, I think that like drag queens that were popular were like the like most feminine, fishy, like I'm a lady. And they're like, wow, look at you. Like, you know,
like you did it.
Yeah.
You look like a woman.
You did. You're the best.
Yeah. Like, okay. Exactly.
But like they can't perform. Like it's like,
yeah, you know? They just like have looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so, oh, it's so. It's such a shame, really, because we've talked about this before, that here's a community, anyone who's LGBTQ has experienced at some point in their life judgment or feeling invalidated, and then we do that to each other. Like, it's ironic.
Yeah.
Because here is a group of people that arguably have had the most walls put up by everyone else and expectations thrown at them by society, and you know how shitty that feels.
And yet you're just transferring those to somebody else.
Yeah, and it's like psychology 101, right? Like you're just taking your own insecurities and putting it on
passing
other people.
Passing it down the line.
Yeah, and I think that that's where a lot of gatekeeping with terminology comes in, because if you feel like you've had to fight to have a term because someone hasn't believed you your whole life.
Right.
And then someone identifies with that term in just in what you perceive as an easy way, then it's easy for your own insecurity to say, well, that's not fair.
Right.
Because how do you get to call
yourself?
Are you just
clocking yourself right now?
No, I mean, in some ways with like the term lesbian, but like this is very wrong, but like, meaning, like, you should not do this. But, for example, like, when bi people say to someone who comes out and identifies as bi, let's say, you know, Lauren Horaghi.
Yeah.
Okay? From Fifth Harmony. She comes out. And a lot of the bi community went off on Twitter of, like, oh, she's just using it as publicity, and it's just her way to identify with, like, queerness and get those, like, followers and everything else. And I think a lot of that comes from you know, bi women feeling like, hey, you have a certain privilege and you're not going to get clocked about this.
Yeah.
You're never probably going to date a woman in their, this is what they're saying. I'm not agreeing with this. So how do you get to call yourself bi?
Right.
You know, whereas here I am, I've been, you know, disowned from my family, or people are not taking my relationship as valid, or people, I've had to fight to prove my sexuality by giving people examples. So when someone just owns a term in your mind in an easy way, it can feel like, well, fuck you. Like, it took me a long time to be able to own this term and for people to believe me.
Yeah.
So you can't just have it. That's wrong. I'm not agreeing with that. I think that is my understanding of why that happens in the queer space in general, whether you're bi, lesbian, gay, trans. It's a big problem right now. Are you trans enough? And I think that that is a huge problem, but I think that's where it comes from.
I feel like there's just, like, there's way too much, like, dissection of things like that, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I honestly have a hard time believing at this point that a ton of people are queer baiting with coming out as bi.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't think it builds your career up enough for you to make a decision to exploit a community like that.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but I honestly, I'm like, I don't think people coming out as bi is them thinking like, this is going to skyrocket my career.
Right.
Like, people don't care enough, really, personally.
No. Like, you know? I don't think they do really these days.
If anything, they might get more hate than anything.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
I have a hard time believing that, but I also just find it gross that, like, as a queer person, you spend so much time, or I did, and I think a lot of people that I know also did. You spend so much time like trying to figure yourself out, trying to figure out where you sit in the community, where you sit in your life, your relations with other people. Mm-hmm. But then people just like stop thinking about, you know, like how they feel about masculinity, how they feel about women, how they should treat women. It's like you're doing so much looking inwards. Why did you fucking stop there?
Yeah,
like
totally.
I'm giving us like too much credit as a community, but I always feel like queer people should be more woke, like more gentle, like, you know, like you've gone through all this hardship. How are you not passing the love on rather than like all your fucking issues?
Totally. And I think a lot of times what it comes down to is definitions. And like, as we know, like the majority of these terms do not have one standardized definition.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. All these terms within themselves are umbrellas. So a lot of the issue sometimes comes from if you are seeing someone use the same term as you are, and who they are is clearly not what you define yourself as, then it becomes an issue because you're like, well, I'm XYZ, you're not XYZ, and how are we using the same term? And it feels like it's being like infiltrated in a way. Even I just think in general, also, queer people are becoming more and more empowered to like not just take what they can get when it comes to things like loose representation, which is a great thing, but I know like a lot of the world gets frustrated by it. For example, like in a way, I guess it's kind of gatekeeping of like what counts as queer representation. Like, what are we going to invest our money in or our time watching?
Yeah.
For example, like years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when Katy Perry, I Kissed a Girl came out, everyone was like, holy fuck, yes, because we didn't have any representation. Yeah. So we could care less if it was queer baiting or if Katy Perry was actually pan or bi or queer or whatever it was. It was just like, oh my God, it's a song about a girl kissing a girl. And who cares that they're talking about her boyfriend and everything? We'll forget all that.
Yeah. Listen to this line.
Yeah. We just got some representation in some way.
Yeah.
But now people expect more, which they should, out of representation. But like, for example, like Rita Ora put out that song like Girls, like and it's like about like drinking red wine and then you kiss girls.
Yeah.
And there was this big debate online, like
we talked about it,
like, is that is that representation? Is that queer baiting? Like, what counts as representation? When are artists allowed to talk about that? And in a way, that is gatekeeping because you're assuming Rita Ora is a heterosexual.
Yeah.
And you're just because she hasn't outed herself or had the conversation about it. But a lot of people put a lot of hate out there about that song that she was using it. So much so that she eventually literally had to out herself in an interview.
Right.
Because she was like, I didn't want to talk about this. I never wanted to define myself, but now I'm put in a position where I have to.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because that's gatekeeping within itself. You're totally, like, forcing people to be gay enough to talk about gay
things.
Even
with that song, the fucking gatekeeping came out of like, because she says that she like drank wine and hooked up with a girl and everybody was like, well, that's not how queer experiences are. Like, you don't have to be drunk to, and we were like, well, no, like, I think that is, for some people, not a lot, obviously, but for some people, I think that is an accurate representation of a queer experience that they've had.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like you're literally gatekeeping somebody because
you're saying that what they experience is valid. Wrong.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
You're deciding that their experience isn't valid because it's not just about getting drunk and kissing girls. No, it's not just about that. But for some people, it is. The first time I kissed a girl, I was drinking.
Again.
And I was at a party.
The first time I kissed a guy, I was... blackout.
So, and I was at a party in front of guys that probably thought it was hot or like whatever it was, but that was still.
And you're like, guess what? I thought it was hot too.
Exactly.
That's why I'm here.
And like, you guys can think all you want. This is for you. If that helps me get away with it without outing myself right now. So, I think in a way, you know, while it is, you're, I, I'm trying to play devil's advocate, and I'm trying to explain where I can see where it comes from, because I can see people's worry with, like, for example, with a song like Girls, Rita Ora,
yeah.
people's worry being, okay, that makes it sound like, to people that are ignorant, that is the only way girls are going to want to kiss girls,
yeah.
or that's the only queer experience. But the problem on the flip side is you can't. It is one queer experience.
Yeah.
So you, just because some people might be ignorant and assume that's all of it, you just have to put more representation out there that hopefully they will see or hear.
Totally.
Right? You can't decide that that representation isn't good enough representation for you.
Yeah.
Because that's someone else's experience.
It's also hard because, like, with songs like that, and I know that other artists have had songs that are queer-leaning, mm-hmm. and then people say, well, you don't identify as bi, you don't identify as lesbian or yeah. gay or whatever it is. And it's like, yes, but you can still have experiences.
Absolutely.
Like, it's, I don't know, it's a hard thing to get around,
yeah.
but it's like, somebody doesn't necessarily have to identify or choose to identify
mm-hmm.
as bi because they made out with a girl once
and
enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And that, for that, like, hey, I've made out with guys and I've enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Oh my God.
Wasn't a bad experience.
When I used to go to the club with
yeah.
my friend, we would, like, hardcore make out.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Yeah.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
I have no attraction to her. It was fun.
Yeah.
Literally, like, we would just get drunk, make out,
mm-hmm.
dance yeah. nasty together.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, okay, I'm still gay. But, mm-hmm. like, I didn't hate that experience.
Yeah.
But it also didn't change how I identify.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's interesting because as a gay man, you would probably have less people saying, oh, I saw Sean making out with a woman.
Yeah.
So he must be bi. Because
right.
it's like, because you've made out with a man, you're gay.
Yeah.
Whereas a woman, like, if I went out to a bar and made out with a guy and people saw that, they'd be like, oh, did you know Bree's bi now?
Well, you'd get stoned to death, probably.
That too. So it's just crazy, right? Like, I think at the end of the day, you just have to take what people say they are as who they are. Like,
yeah.
it's not for you to decide or validate. And it's definitely not for you to ask for a resume.
And also, like, if somebody doesn't identify a certain way, a key thing could be yet. Like, everybody's
yeah.
working on their own timing.
So true.
So, like, I think it's gross to press celebrities
mm-hmm.
for information when everybody's on their own speed,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to...
Well, yeah. Like, and a lot of people will go through various identities before they find maybe a term that fits for them, or they may never find a term that fits for them and just choose that they don't want to identify at all.
Yeah.
Like, you see plenty of artists these days, like Harry Styles, like, and maybe that will change. But currently, his whole thing is, I just don't want to identify at all. I don't
yeah.
want to put myself in any box or with any term. So terms are great if they help you, but some people just don't want one.
Yeah.
So it's not for you to press them for that. I know for me, I've talked about this before, my personal queer experience was, I grew up in a very heteronormative setting. I thought I was straight and a straight person who happened to like to kiss girls or was infatuated with girls, but I still identified as being straight, just simply because I didn't know there was other options. And then when I found out that there were other options, I came out as bisexual first,
yeah.
because that felt safer to me. And then eventually I was like, no, I'm a lesbian, and that's what works for me. That doesn't, me identifying as bi before or dating men before does not take away from my current term.
Totally.
In the same way that someone who identifies as lesbian might later say, oh, hold on, I'm actually interested in all types of people. Maybe I'm pansexual, or I'm interested in this particular guy. Maybe I want to identify as bisexual now. So things change and people are allowed to change their terminology.
Yeah.
It's not for you to police, but unfortunately it happens a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Far too much.
Far, far, far too much. If there was one thing that you could change tomorrow, like snap your fingers and change tomorrow about the gay male community, what would that be?
Maybe just like killing all racists would be a good place to start.
The racism.
I think like that is like the most disgusting and insidious part of the community.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, policing fucking masculinity also is gross. Yes, yes, yes. But it's like the fact that like racism is honestly, I would say more accepted in this community than maybe any other is like so appalling to me that it's gotten to a point that people just kind of like not allow it, but allow it.
It's just almost like people have grown to expect it. And because of that, there's compliance.
And the worst part is that there's like, there's like the classic racism, like no Asians. But then there's the like flip side of it that there's like also like fetishization of like black men.
Yeah.
And there's so many issues that stem from racism in the community.
Totally.
That I think that is the biggest one. Yeah. What about you?
I think the thing that needs to change is asking women for sexual resumes. That's the biggest one. Yeah. I think everything kind of stems from that when it comes to gatekeeping. And it's such an archaic way of thinking that like if you haven't had sex with a certain gender, then like how do you know? And like, or if you have had sex with a certain gender, then you must not be fully lesbian or you must not be gay enough. It all comes down to women's sexual histories, which I think is just like really fucked up. So like, I think if you could change that, it would solve a lot of problems. I mean, it would mean that a woman who has only ever dated heterosexual cis males can still identify as bisexual without people questioning it. Because just because she hasn't hooked up with a woman doesn't mean she's not bisexual. And lesbians who have hooked up with men and women can still be lesbians.
Oh my God, I just have...
What? Oh, God.
I have a story. I don't know if I should tell it, though.
Oh, God.
I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
It's happening.
Go
you know
for
what it.
It
is. You're, as soon as I start talking, you're going to know what it is.
Okay.
This could get me in trouble, but whatever.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. How do I try to think about like the best way to say this? I have a friend.
Okay.
Who identified when this story happened as bisexual.
Okay.
And this friend was with a large group of people and was calling themselves gay.
Okay.
As just like,
yes,
we use gay as an umbrella term.
Yes. It's similar to queer a lot of times.
Yeah. Like, I'm gay. Like, I have women friends that say, I'm gay. You know, it's just like, so
it's kind of a quicker way to say I'm LGBTQ.
Yeah. So she was using gay to describe herself, but not getting more into it.
Yeah.
And someone in the community said, well, why are you using gay? I thought you were bi. Why would you use the word gay? And it's like just the fact that there are interactions like that,
like questioning
and,
it.
And
just
this person
it.
Was asked this in front of a large group of people at a dinner.
Yes.
At a dinner that she didn't know many of these people.
Yes.
And that was brought
so
to her plate to deal with.
And like why that would even be a response.
Why? Like, why time and place? Why then? Why now? Why are you asking that question?
So
why do
intrusive.
You care? So intrusive. So disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, and like the fact that you have the audacity to ask something like that in front of a group of people that like neither of you really know is like just so shocking to me.
Disturbing.
Yeah, disturbing.
On so many levels.
So,
yeah.
I think that just fits into this whole thing, you know?
You know what? I'm glad you shared that anecdote, because I know exactly what that's about, and I agree completely.
Yeah.
So fucked up.
So fucked up.
Like, just mind your own business. I think that should be the takeaway from this podcast is, unless someone is opening up to you because they would like to share and they're expressing that, then mind your own fucking business.
And also, like, if you had that question, it's still... I personally think too much to just like one-on-one be like, I thought, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
You know, ask somebody more intimately.
Yes.
Hey, I'm just from a place of wanting to learn, wanting to know. I'm just curious why you use this term.
Yeah.
Like that I think is like, that's... still I'd be like, okay, fuck off. But like, I'd be like,
still,
okay, you're coming from a place of
wanting
to
know.
Learn.
Yeah.
But like the fact that people have no problem just like calling you
putting
out,
someone on the spot in front of a group of people where they now have to explain and define who they are and why they
just a casual
things.
Conversation. violation.
Like, what the fuck? People, come on. Yeah. All right. On that note, wherever you're listening, make sure to follow or subscribe. It really helps us grow. Also, give us a review, only if it's 5 stars. We're still haunted by that 4-star. Oh my God.
Please, honestly, if you are the 4 stars, just delete your account. Maybe the review will go with it. Please.
And just a reminder that we have a giveaway for a $50 Visa gift card going on our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. So make sure to go check out the details over there. And you can also follow us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time, we will see you around the neighborhood.
Come get that 42 USD, baby.